while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church family. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for making me feel so welcome. Thank you, Pastor Deji. I bring greetings from my family. I'm married. My wife is Ayo. She's got a beautiful voice. She's a gospel singer. And we're blessed with two young adults, I would say, 25 and 20, soon to be 22, on next week, Tuesday, yes. So anyway, praise God for his blessing. So thank you very much for making me feel welcome. As Deji has said, I've known him for years. He's been a blessing in my life, and I love him dearly as a brother. Wow. Praise God. Okay. Oh, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you help us to receive your word, your engrafted word with meekness this morning. Lord, your word that is able to transform our minds and restore our souls. Speak to us as we hear God's voice in your word. Reveal the mind of Christ. Show us what he wants us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've read the main text a few times today, so I'm not going to read it again. But there are a few things that come to mind, or a few key concepts that we would sort of focus on this morning. One of which, the two main things are faith and works. Faith and works. Faith, works. Can they exist or function without the other? The writer of the book of James, who is believed to be the brother of Christ, had two fundamental emphases in all his in this book of James, in his writings. And the main focus was growth in our spiritual life, as well as sensitivity to social relationships. It's good that we have our community leader or politicians. They're the ones that make the law, and you know, they're the ones that legislate. So it's good that you're here, because it's in God's heart that as Christians, as his children, we're not only focused on our relationship with him, but we're also sensitive to our fellow human being. And Jesus Christ summarized it when he said that there are two main commandments, and that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. So we're going to be focusing on that this morning. But the main thing about the aspect of works in this text is the fact that it is not just works for work's sake. It is works that stem out of obedience. It is works that stems out of obedience to God, leading us to take action. And how the two of them work hand in hand. And the Greek text, actually, in this scripture, that sort of talks about these two aspects of our faith, uses the word synergio. Sin, which is a Greek, synergio, which is soon means together, and ergio, which is the same root word for ergonomics, movement, working together. So our faith and our works are meant to work together. Our faith in the New Testament dispensation means our belief in God, and our belief in God is by accepting Jesus Christ, his sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary, and our surrender to his lordship. This faith has to be, if it's not accompanied by obedience, that leads us to action is fruitless or dead. That's essentially what James is talking about. So faith, I mean, there are, as we heard earlier on, there are many voices out there that want to define what faith is for us. But as Christians, we know faith is a response to God's sacrifice, God's way of bringing mankind back to himself. Man strayed, man fell short of God's glory. And God's way, not man's way of trying to reach God, which has never worked. Go back to the story of the Tower of Babel. But fast forward, God sent his son. He brought him, he himself came in the person of his son and sacrificed his life for us, laid his life down on the cross of Calvary. So this morning, I'm sure there are visitors here. If you haven't heard the gospel message, which is the fact that Jesus Christ came, God came, sent his son to earth to die for us so that we do not continue in our sin, or we do not die. And when I say die, we would all die the physical death, but this is spiritual death, eternal separation from God. If you have not heard that gospel, the summary of it is that God came in the flesh, dwelt amongst us, was sacrificed by laying his life down. It wasn't that he was forced to, he willingly laid down his life for us so that we can have a relationship and access to God. So that's about the faith. The works, as I said earlier on, has to originate in God. James used an example. If you go down in that book, in the chapter, from verses 21 to 23, and I think to 23, he spoke about Abraham. And the story of Abraham, I won't go into the details of that, but it was said that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and his works were and he was justified by his works, not by faith only. But if we remember the story of Abraham, Abraham actually heard God's voice instructing him. Obviously, the first instruction was leave your father's land and go to a place I will show you. But even further down the line, God also instructed him, which in this, the aspect referred to here is the sacrifice of Isaac, which obviously there was a replacement because that never happened. But the fact is that Abraham obeyed God. So that's why I said that the works referred to here is works that that emanates or starts from the place of obedience. It's not just us willingly just standing up, I would do that, but listening out to God's voice, or listening, being sensitive to the prompting of God in our heart to say, son, I want you to do this. Son, I want you to go to your neighbor. I want you to help her with her shopping. Daughter, I want you to, go down the road and just speak to the gentleman that lives in number two. You know, so those little promptings, I mean, it doesn't have to be big things like Abraham had here, but God does speak to us. He speaks to us on a daily basis. If we are willing and ready to listen out, and he will direct us, he will lead us into what he wants us to do. And I just want to share, sometimes I know some people don't believe in this, but recently a testimony was suggested to me by YouTube. How many of us listen to this stuff on YouTube? I'm sure we all do. And it was the testimony of a man who went through what we call a non-death experience. But what fascinated me when this man was talking is the fact that he mentioned the fact that he was a pastor, but never once in his message or in his testimony did he speak about Christ. It was just about, oh, I was a pastor, I did this good stuff, I did that good stuff, I did that good stuff. That is works. But the fascinating thing was that when he died and he got to the gates of heaven, God actually showed him like a group of principalities. Principalities are essentially fallen angels who are in cahoot with the devil, making decisions about their strategies. And he was shocked when God told him all those works. He said, but God, I did this, I did that for you. And God said, all that work was for the devil. But God said, I will give you a second chance. So essentially, why did I share that? I shared that because sometimes we focus on good works, good deeds. But good deeds without that basic foundation, which is our faith, is powerless, is useless. And what we don't want to do is get to heaven and we're told, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Let's go to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21-23. And Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. May that not be our portion. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, so that's that. And also, I think Matthew 21, I'll quickly read that as well. Matthew 21, verses 28-32. Yeah, okay. And it says, but when the vine dressers saw the son. Oh, sorry. I think that's a wrong. Oh, I'm reading the wrong place. 28. Okay. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go walk today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of heaven before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. So essentially, what am I going on about with this? Is the fact that our obedience matters, following our faith. The admonition is that our proclamation of faith must be followed by fruitful works that stem from obedience to God. This is the practical outworking of our faith. So my question this morning is, where are we in our obedience to God? What has God told you to do lately that you are resisting him? We remember the story of Saul and Samuel, where God gave specific instructions. And at the end of it, Saul was disobedient, but it was costly. Sometimes, I mean, our obedience, God is faithful and God is a generous God, but sometimes our disobedience can cost us heavily, and in this case it costs Saul his kingdom. It cost him the throne. But Samuel replied, that's 1 Samuel chapter 15 verses 22-23, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offering and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering of fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshipping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. I pause there because I just want us to reflect a bit on that. Most of us here are adults. We know how difficult it can be sometimes to obey God. We are willing, but sometimes we find ourselves, like Paul said in one of the epistles, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. So, how can we overcome this obstacle? And I was quite fascinated by a scripture. And this is something that the Lord has been working on me about. And it's maybe a scripture that you have read, we have all read at one point in time or the other. It's John chapter 14, verse 15, where Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But I like this translation, how it puts it. John, that's the Passion Translation says, "Loving me empowers you to obey my commandments." So you see where I'm going there. Loving me. God is saying to us, if you love me, you will find it easier to obey me. So loving God empowers us to obey his commands. And so, I mean, I was meditating on that. And God, lately, as I said, has been dealing with me about coming back to my first love for him. And I remember when I first gave my life to Christ and I was so in love with him, and I would spend hours, you know, on my face. Sometimes, in fact, I remember on campus then, I gave my life to Christ when I was in university. We had these beds that you can have, you have space underneath it. It's not like the divan that you have here now. It's like a bed and then you've got space underneath. Some people put things under. But our room was carpeted, so what I would do is we had the bed sheets that go over the bed, so I would sneak underneath and nobody would know I'm there. But I'm with the Lord just fellowshipping. And I just remember God took me back to that time. And God was saying to me, I want you to come back to that place of first love with me. And that's what I believe God laid on my heart to share with you this morning. I know we started from the place of faith, then works, but it ends, and obedience, but it ends in love. Because loving God, love, I would say, love answers all things. Loving God, loving our fellow human being. And God's, and the Lord brought me to my attention in the book of Revelations, chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. We probably all know it, where it's one of the scriptures to where John the apostle received revelation to the churches. And I'm going to just read briefly. I will read from the Passion Translation. "But I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Think about how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works of love you did at first. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place if you do not repent." I know this sounds, I haven't brought condemnation this morning. I know this sounds gruesome, but essentially, God's heart to us is not to chase us away from him. God's heart to us is to draw us near. And so God's saying, I want you to go back to that place. We all know. Are there any engaged couples in the house? Are there any engaged young couples? Okay, but I'm sure we've all, even those of us that are married, that have been married for many years, I hope that love is still there and still the same. I'm burning. But remember when two lovers come together, when they meet, they just can't have enough of one another. You know? They can't wait to be in each other's company. They can't wait. Sometimes they're just there staring at each other and looking into each other's eyes. And that is love, isn't it? You know? And that's the sort of level of love that God is talking about here. God wants our hearts. And that's why Jesus Christ said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, with everything." That's what God demands of us. Some of the songs we sang this morning reflected that. That's God's heart for us. And God just, I haven't come to bring condemnation. I've just come to sort of encourage us to sort of just make you fall in love with God again. I mean, it's not that you're not in love with God now, but I want you to just go deeper in your passion, in your desire, in your longing for the Lord. You know? And God said to me, "What happened to that passion I had for His presence? To behold Him, to lavish my love on Him in adoration, in praise, in reverential worship, longing to hear His voice, moving to the impulse of His voice and obeying Him to every last detail. When we return to first love, He empowers us to obey Him through the power of His Holy Spirit." And Jesus said it in the book of John, chapter 14. It is a promise to us. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." And I will read that again from the Passion's translation. And it says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. He will never leave you. The world won't receive Him because they can't see Him or know Him, but you know Him intimately." Note the word intimately. And that's what God is wants of us, intimacy. "Because He remains with you and will live inside you. Without the help of Christ through His Holy Spirit, we cannot do anything. We can't accomplish anything." So the Christian walk is actually easier than we think. Most of the time we struggle because we're trying to do it in our strength. We're trying to do it by our own power. But Christ said, "I have not left you comfortless. I have sent you the Holy Spirit." And with the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit empowering us, as we love on Him, He empowers us to obey. He empowers us to do the things that He wants us to do. John chapter 15, verse 5 says that, I will read it out. Jesus said, "I am the sprouting vine, and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless." So, essentially this morning, I just want to encourage us, you know, to just come back to that place, you know, to that place of the altar, to that place of first love. God is calling us all back to first love in this season. He needs His bride, His church, to be on fire again. He needs His bride and His bride beholding Him. As I gave the example of the lovers earlier on, the book of, if you read this book of Songs of Solomon, you see God's desire for us as His bride. And so God is calling us all back, both here at Pollard's Hill Baptist Church and the church worldwide. He's calling us back to first love. Because when we go back to the place of first love, we find that we are empowered again to obey. And when we obey, with the backing of the Holy Spirit, the sky is the limit to what God will accomplish through us. And that's what was the basis of the first church in the book of Acts, if we read it. You know, it's that first love that God is calling us back to. When we love Him deeply, that love will overflow to our fellow man. We cannot love Him genuinely and hate our brother or sister that we see. We love Him because He first loved us. He loves us passionately and jealously. He will not share that love with anything or anyone else. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, souls, mind, strength, and might. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. So in summary, we've spoken about our faith. And faith without obedience to God's word that leads us to take action is fruitless. Number two, true obedience emanates from loving God. Love for God empowers us to obey Him. And when we love Him, and we love Him because He first loved us. And number three, we must return to first love, where nothing and no one comes before God. So God is calling us back. I just want you to just take a moment and just begin to commune with God in your heart. Is there anything that has taken that first place in our hearts above Him? In your heart above Him? It's time to let go and let Christ have His rightful place in our hearts. When I was preparing for this, part of what God laid on my heart was that God wants to bring healing to some of us. And that healing is for us to start loving ourselves. We love God, but we find it difficult to love our fellow man because we don't love ourselves. And Jesus Christ, the word of God says, you should love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, how can you love your neighbor? God wants to heal you of that this morning. The journey to loving self may need to start with rediscovering our true identity in Christ. Who does the Father say you are? A lot of the anger and frustrations that we have in our society today stem from self-hatred. But God wants to set us free from that. Is there anyone here who would like to give their lives to Christ? We said the foundation itself is our faith. You've been doing works, you've been attending church for years, but you haven't come into that place of personal relationship, the relationship that we're talking about, this first love. You don't even know what that is in the first place, not to talk of going back to it. God wants to fellowship with you. He created you. He loves you. He's the one that gave you your breath as you came into the world. And He longs for that fellowship with you.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.